Haha, it's Monday the 6th of February 2006. You're listening to the Pod Report, and we're going to be bringing global justice straight to your ear. Great, good stuff. You're listening to the Pod Report. I'm Andy Parnell, the host for the show. You can check out our website if you want. It's www.podreport.podomatic.com. That's www.podreport.podomatic.com. And if you ever want to email the show, you can. It's podreport@podomatic.com. Radio. Tonight, we're going to be talking a lot about civil society, about NGOs, about the state and the interrelationships between the three. So, some exciting stuff. And hope you're all keeping well out there and having a good time. Sorry, I've been away for a bit. Tends to happen with me from time to time. So, for the apologies if you're thinking that this is always going to be every week. I hope it will be, but I can't guarantee it. So, subscribe, and no doubt when a show has been passed on, no doubt we'll get that to you as soon as we can via whatever mechanism you're using, whether it's iTunes or Yahoo, or it could be direct from the show. You could, some people go onto the website, for example, and no doubt listen to it online. That's cool as well. However you get the show, that's great. We do have an email system, so if you want to be included, check out the website and log on to it. And while you're there, you can obviously put your comments online or whatever as well about the show, what you think of it, what you don't think of it, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, hope you enjoy the shows that have been, and hopefully you'll continue to enjoy the shows that will be coming up in the future. Right, I'm just going to have a quick break, but before I do, I would just like to check out a few things with you, see how things are in your life. In my life, I'm kind of thinking to myself, I'm doing a lot of work, no doubt. Most of you, some of you work, some of you don't work, and it'd be nice to kind of see what your kind of views are, as to, and your attitude is towards work. For example, do you enjoy your job that you're doing? As a listener, what kind of work are you doing? Do you have a particular title you like, or are you slaving away in a factory somewhere, sticking pinheads on pins? What exactly is it that you do? It'd be interesting to find out who our listener base is. I've got a rough idea, but I could be wrong on my assumptions. So let's find out. Log on to www.podreport.podomatic.com. Click on add a comment online, and put in your comment about, you know, you don't actually have to say who you are or whatever, or just leave your first name, that will do. And just kind of tell us about your work and whether you enjoy it or not. Just a short, sharp statement of the sorts of things that you do and whether or not you're getting any satisfaction or well-being from your work. Does your boss treat you like a slave, or does he treat you like you're a human being? It'd be very interesting to find that out. So let's do that. Let's go onto the website and put your comments online, and no doubt I'll read them out next week to see what kind of feedback we get, if we get any. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see who the listener is. So I'll speak to you shortly, about that in a bit more detail as to why I'm thinking along these lines, kind of doing an interactive thing here with the listeners. And, yeah, and I'll just take a quick break now and we'll get back to the show.
comfort of the office to travel home again, but just ignores the strain. She works 2 hours journey from where she lives. Seems all she does is gifts. Seems all she does is gifts. She's been working 13-hour days for as long as she cares to recall. She doesn't know how to stop, just wonders if this is life. Then I need to get out. This can't be what it's become about.
Okay, that was Brighton-based band Jaguar, and you can go to their website, check them out. They're pretty good. Great, in fact. You can go to www.jaguar.co.uk and find out more about that band. Not bad at all. Hey, yeah, this work thing, we all do it. You probably could be driving right now to work, or you could be cycling, or you could be catching a train or a bus. You could be on your way to work. You could be coming home from work. You could be sitting on your sofa going, I wish I had some work. You could, in fact, be working right now as we speak. And if that is the case, then like most of humanity, you're probably living to work. And that song was called Living to Work, and that's why I chose it. Most of us seem to be not too satisfied with our work. And then we have to ask ourselves, what's all this development stuff about? We've been developing our civilization, our society, for, well, many, many millennia. But in particular, you know, the Industrial Revolution happened about 300 odd years ago. And ever since then, we've been working and passing on whatever little bit of wealth we get to our family. These days, some of it tends to have to be put into your house or your car or whatever. And at the end of the day, you get to the age of 60, 65, depending on what country you're in. If you're in a developed country, so-called developed country, excuse me. And if you're in a developing country, you might not even get to that age in life, unfortunately. So in a developed country, I take it, like you say, in Britain, for example, you'll be working to the age of 65 these days. And what happens? Well, you probably go into a retirement home. You may have to sell your house to pay for a nursing home. And that's what we call development these days. You work for a good chunk of your life, you pay off your mortgage, then you have to sell your house a few years later to look after your health. And you've probably put in, you know, at least 8-hour days. Some people put in 10-hour days, as we heard in the song there. Quite often people work 13 hours, 16 hours. The list goes on. We work our little butts off. Pardon my French. And we work very hard. And some of us work extremely hard. And often we're doing it because we care about our family. We want to get somewhere in life. We want to move up the social ladder. Or whatever. End of the day, chances of success in terms of getting away from a hard-working lifestyle tends to be about Buckley's and them. Yeah, most people, in fact, don't ever stop working. There's a few people on this planet that don't even have to work if they don't want to, and they tend to be the richest classes, and they're the ones that control most of the world's wealth and also direct what development is all about. And this brings me to the idea of the interrelationship between the different sectors. I mean, I've been unemployed, I've been a student, I've worked in the private sector, I've worked in the public sector, I've worked in the charity sector, the voluntary sector, and so on. So in other words, I've probably worked in just about every possible sector going, I'd have to admit. And and each one of those has been quite a different experience, but in many ways the same. And this brings me back to this interrelationship between the state, the civil society, and the business community. And what I find extremely interesting here is that we have to ask ourselves, what's the state for? Why is it there? I mean, if you think about it, you work, 40-hour week if you're lucky? And about half your money, whether you know it or not, goes on taxes. And so that money goes to the state, which then pays for the welfare state, so people who are less fortunate, less well-off, get paid contributions to effectively not be in work. I mean, I'm not sure if you realise this or not, but most economists agree that the optimum level of unemployment is about 3% in a so-called advanced capitalist society. And about 3% is just enough to be able to move people around. So, for example, if you're not too happy in your job, you're being overworked, underpaid, and your boss comes up to you and says, right, time for you to move on, sonny. You know, you're not pulling your weight here. You're obviously not doing a very good job. We want to get rid of you. Or it could be a restructuring or some other kind of layoff. Or it could just be that there's a downturn in the economy. Suddenly you find yourself out of work. Well, the boss can do that. And the reason why you can do that, obviously, is because there's a surplus, a reserve pool of labour out there willing to take your place. And that's why we have unemployment, partly. Often people just go from one position to another, and there's always this, I guess what you might call the excluded members of society. And they're the ones with the least skills and all that kind of stuff. The ones that aren't winning in the world of capitalism. So effectively what you do is you go to work, you work your little butt off, about 43 to 46% of your income goes to the state. Some of it goes in direct income tax, the rest of it tends to go in things like sales tax, GST, VAT, whatever else you want to call it, plus also various different parking fines and speeding fines and this fines and that fines and various different taxes on resources, like when you pay your electricity bill, there's a tax on that, and so on. So a lot of your money gets taken by the state, more so than what you realise. Now, you might think, okay, that's not such a bad thing, because the state, unlike a corporation, isn't going to exploit me. And when I get sick or ill or whatever, there's going to be this welfare state safety net thingy that's going to protect you. Well, to some extent, you'd be right. But to some extent, you'd also be wrong. And where you'd be wrong is in the mistaken belief that the state is there to serve your interests. The state has been set up, and all the laws have been set up to serve the interests of the corporations. I think George Monbiot was the one that stated that the CBI in Britain, the Bureau of Industry, the people that are running the show in the corporate world, the multinationals and so on, the ones that control Britain. Well, in many ways, he'd probably be right, because what they do is they lobby the state, just like the civil society lobbies the state, to put laws in your favour or their favour. And 9 times out of 10, the ones with the money, the riches, the power, and so on, win out. And that's why you get Tony Blair doing things like wanting to build new nuclear power stations, even though it's totally uneconomical in a free market to build a nuclear power station. Even the latest nuclear power stations are totally uneconomical. But of course, they're not uneconomical when the state pays for it. In other words, the hard-earned money that you've been working your little butt off, that goes to the state to pay for civil servants who are then supposed to look after the poor, the ones that lose out from the right to work. So you work hard, you earn your living, you give half your money away to the state. The state then gives it to the corporations, as in terms of corporate welfare, because of course corporations are quite poor and they need the money in any way to employ more of you. So you're then employed, you have a nice little happy life, you get yourself a mortgage, you get yourself a car, and at the end of it, of course, chances are you won't have that much, you're not going to be super rich. So chances are you're going to have to sell your house anyway to pay for your health at the end when you're getting old. And whatever's left will then obviously go onto your children. It's not all downsides, just because of course you can then send your children, afford to send your children to a university maybe, or to a private school or whatever else it might be, and give them a better hope and future in life. And of course some of us actually get job satisfaction from our work, and they tend to be the lucky few, the 10% that actually enjoy their jobs. And in fact, strangely enough, I'm at the moment one of those 10%, but for most of my life, I don't think I have. And that's probably the same with many the world over. So anyway, that's the system. That's what you call development. You've got the state taking money from you, from your work, and then giving it to the less well-off, but also the more well-off, giving a lot of money to corporations in terms of subsidies and so on. And then, of course, that then goes to employ more of you so that you can work harder and more profits for shareholders, who tend to be the... Most shareholders in the world are not your mums and pops. It tends to be your pension funds. And they control about 99% of capital, I would imagine. I can get an exact figure for you if you'd like, but at the moment I know it's quite close to that anyway. And of course, so we work for the state, we work for corporations. So where does that bring in civil society actors, the NGO community, and so on? Well, people get employed in the NGO world, a lot of them actually spend many, many years doing voluntary work. So in fact, they're working for the love of it or for the cause. And many NGOs would not be able to survive without this voluntary support base. And of course, some of your hard-earned money that doesn't get taken from the state to pay for subsidies to the corporate welfare to the corporations, or doesn't get taken by the corporation in terms of profits and rents, and landlords in terms of rents as well, then gets taken. You might give some of that contributions to, you know, your Oxfams or the World or your Christian Aids or your Medicines Sans Frontiers or your Greenpeaces or your WWF NGOs. Well, basically, you give your money to the NGOs. And where does that money go? Well, it then goes on to campaign for various different projects and programs and political change or social change, depending on which charity you go with and which NGO you go with, which pressure group you go with, etc. With your money, your time or effort, depending on what you've got free to give. And that goes to fixing up some of the problems of the imbalances of the corporate state, which is what we've got. We've got a corporate state. And some of these imbalances are things like, you know, chopping down your forests and exploiting innocent people overseas in developing countries, or it could be exploiting, local people. It could be helping out refugees that have come over here because of the exploitations that are going on over there by either their own governments or by ours or by the corporations. And in other words, we stick a nice big band-aid on things. And not mocking that, that's a good thing, but of course it doesn't change that status quo. So that's the kind of development we've got, really. Originally, the idea was that we'd go from a, agrarian type society to a more modern society. We'd industrialize, we'd then have a mass production society, which obviously uses up a lot of resources to do that. And then we'd obviously go one step further and go to a mass consumption society. Well, today we've got a mass consumption society in the advanced nations, the so-called advanced nations. And that mass consumption society is bringing about, let's put it this way, a lack of happiness in many ways. And I think there was a report out just this week, in fact, about what brings happiness, not more than $20,000 apparently. Anything more than that, you're not going to need, and therefore it's not going to make you happy. And anything less than that, between $15,000 to $20,000, anything less than those two amounts, and you're going to be stretched in this particular country in Britain. Well, in the OECD countries, I think this study was for. And so, in other words, you know, there's a fine balance between getting yourself to a certain standard of living, and above and beyond that standard of living, it doesn't count. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your hours, putting in all those extra hours at the office. And so when you're on your deathbed and you look back and say, gee, I wish I spent another 10 years in the office, another 2 or 3 hours a day slaving over a hot keyboard or a hot stove or in a factory or wherever it is that you work, and it's not worth it. That's basically what the report said. I mean, I haven't got the report in front of me, but I do remember hearing about it in a fairly graphic detail. And it's no point working above and beyond the call of duty, unless, of course, it's going to save lives or some other such thing. So obviously, if you're a doctor and you're in a war zone and you're the only doctor around, obviously you're going to have to work 100 hours a week just to keep as many people alive as possible. And obviously, you know, that sacrifice is worthy and so on. So don't get me wrong. Not all work beyond and above that amount, earning that amount of money, that $15,000 to $20,000 is a complete waste of time. Some of it's for self-development, you know, self-cultivation, helping out the community that you live in, etc. And that's all fine. But for your own personal happiness and your family's happiness, earning more than $20,000 a year, really, and this is, I don't know if this is controversial or not, so, you know, no doubt I'll get some comments. But, you know, really, you are just wasting your time, and you're then paying more and more taxes and more and more. You're basically becoming less and less happy, and you're earning more and more, but you're giving more of that to the capitalist classes, to the corporations, or to the state, which then goes on either civil servants or it does sometimes go on poor people. A big substantial chunk of it goes on poor people. But as you can see these days in the mass consumption societies that we live in, most of that money at the moment is tending to go to private, well, a lot of the state is being sold off for private consumption by corporations at mind you, at bargain basement prices. So that's where we are. I mean, this is development, and this is where it's got us. So I think we need to start looking at alternatives to this development model, and really seriously think hard on how we can put forward a different kind of lifestyle. And I've gone on about a few other ideas before, but basically there's two things we can do. We can either create micro-civilizations, so the sort of good society that we'd like to see and want to see, and we can put that into practice straight away. But of course, we're always going to be tied to the greater society that we're living in. Unfortunately, this is the fact of life. So the other option, of course, is, well, you know, there's complete revolution, etc. But for many of us, that's not a physical reality that presents that opportunity to us straight away. So we have to strive and work hard for getting as much as we can out of the state. So for those of you that would like to get your work-life balance correct, maybe we can have a chat about that and find out where it's going. So I'd also like to discuss about where developing countries are going and whether or not they need to have a rethink about which path they're going down, because for all intents and purposes, many of them are heading towards where we've been, and you know, and I would say that that can be a dangerous precedent, but it's not necessarily what they want either, which is funny enough, interesting in itself. And I mean, I was listening to Claire Short on Radio 4 this morning, and she was surprised me, actually. She was saying that, you know, most people in China don't actually want a car and all that sort of stuff, even though China's having massive amounts of increases in car. But what they really want is happiness and well-being and good health and a happy family and all these kind of things that, you know, we'd all consider nice things. And it tends to be the fact that we're going to need a social revolution and a change in what we see as priorities being the most important things. Things like putting art, music, culture, these kind of things forward as what we should consider as development. We should consider a strong civilization having a great deal of depth in these things, where these types of occupations are seen as the occupations that are extremely necessary for development. And I'd like to take that thought further next week. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. So I'm just going to play another tune, and we'll see you again next week. So that's bye for now. And have a think about your life, your work, and maybe drop us a few comments. Or you can go to www.podreport.podomatic.com and tell us what you do, whether you enjoy it or not, and whether or not you think you're getting your work-life balance thing happening or not. All right, see you next week. Au revoir, and bye for now. Oh, one last thing. Just before I go, this next tune that I play to end the show is by Moral Decline, and it's called Overwork Underpaid. Now, this is generally, we generally don't do kind of explicit material or whatever on our podcast. I'd just like to give you an advance warning. So if you are a child or whatever, or if you are fairly young or take offense to this kind of stuff, yeah, you might want to switch off right now. For the rest of you, this is Overwork Underpaid. It's quite an interesting punk song, and I think it's worth playing. So have a listen to this.
Working for a worthless boss who cannot fucking take. Hopeless and confused for the tension he creates. Money barely pays bills, you just don't have enough. Life can't get any easier if it's always fucking rough.
Overwork, underpaid.
The stress is adding up.
Overwork, underpaid.
Your hard work's not enough.
Overwork, underpaid.
The stress is adding up.
Overwork, underpaid.
Your hard work's not enough. Hands are getting numb and your body starts to ache. They push you even harder and take away your break. It's such a fucking curse when you're in the working class. You give it all you've got as they kick you in the ass.
Overwork, underpaid.
The stress is adding up.
Overwork, underpaid.
Your hard work's not enough.
Overwork, underpaid.
Your stress is adding up.
Overwork, underpaid.
Your hard work's not enough. Go! Wake up in the morning and your car will fucking start. Then you have to sit and listen to your boss's smart remarks. What's the point of going if the pay is not legit? Stop that stupid shit and tell that motherfucker you quit.
Overwork, underpaid.
Your stress is adding up.
Overwork, underpaid.
Your hard work's not enough.
Overwork, underpaid.
Your stress is adding up.
Overwork, underpaid.
Your hard work's not enough.